Let's take our Bibles now, go to Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. Philemon, or Philemon, as we like to say. And then we're going to take our Bibles also to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 6, and we'll look at several different verses. But we are looking back again at the passage that we looked at several weeks back. And we're going to get something else out of this passage, Lord willing. Philemon, verse number 4. Verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. There is a type of what Jesus Christ did for every believer in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 17. And we'll read that in just a moment. But in the chapters leading up to 2 Samuel 6, where we'll read, a lot of changes had taken place in the nation of Israel. The tribes had been united under their new king. Saul had been dead for quite some time, but now they became united and they said, David, we are all on your side. We're united together. We want you to be our king. That happened in chapter 5. And also in chapter 5, Jerusalem is established as the city of David, the king's city. And since that time, it has been the capital of Israel. And it is tonight. And then we have, and isn't that amazing what happened this past week? I think it's great. And you know what? If our president does nothing else than treat Israel nice, he has done a good thing as far as God's concerned. If everything else he did, you say, that's not a whole lot. That's a whole lot more than we got in the last president. Between me and you and the wall. Amen? And, you know, I really like the idea of somebody that just does what they do and not worry about what everybody says. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice, man? People get spooked all the time. Everybody's got skeletons in the closet. Everybody's just like everybody and their brother. But thank the Lord, Jerusalem is the eternal city. It's the real eternal city. And you know, Jesus Christ is going to reign in that city someday. Geographical location locked. Jesus Christ is going to be in. We've been talking about him, singing about him tonight, giving money to him, the whole nine yards. And one of these days, we're going to take a little trip over to Jerusalem, and there he is. And we're going to see him. And I don't know about you, I get excited about when I think about things like the geographical, actual dirt. Jesus Christ was here before. He's going to stand on that dirt again. And that's going to happen. Thank the Lord for that. And this has all happened here in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And they said, ain't nobody can come up in here and get us. And David went up and took care of business. And that's why it's called the City of David. Now, continuing in chapter 5, you find that they have a bunch of battles with the Philistines, and David is victorious. That's the famous one where the mulberry trees, you hear a sound on the top of the mulberry trees, and it was the Lord moving in there, and he came in and defeated the Philistines for them. And at the end of that, you see, at the end of chapter 5, you see that Israel is victorious. David is now has a united kingdom. David has a throne, a capital city, and now he has victory over his enemies. Then the final coup d'etat, really, the final icing on the cake is found in chapter 6, verse 17. Chapter 6, verse 17. It says, and they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. The final triumph was when the Ark of the Covenant returned. And then David, out of the goodness of his heart, decided to give gifts to every man and woman in Israel. Now, this is not a usual thing. Kings don't give gifts. Kings receive gifts. In fact, you'll find that many times when David would conquer nations or other leaders would conquer nations, it would say, so the Philistines became David's servants and brought gifts. You find that in the old. That means you are my Lord. You are my master. I am giving you what is due to you. Now, I don't think they did that out of the goodness of their heart. They did that because they had just gotten beaten in battle. So they decided to give gifts. Here we find the king giving gifts to the subjects. And he does this after the victory has been won. He does this after the tribes have been united, after the capital city has been established. He does this after they've been victorious over their enemies, and after the presence of God in type, the Ark of the Covenant, comes and rests in its final and true home. And as a result of those things, David is filled with such joy that he decides to give gifts to every man and woman in Israel. Now, that is a type of what Jesus Christ did for you and I. Do you see the type? Can you see it? How he defeated the enemies, how he fulfilled the prophecies, how he established a way to communicate with God once again. Except now the veil of the temple has been rent in twain, and we can once again enter into the presence of God without fear because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's find the tie-in in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. So when we read in Philemon, it said there in verse 6 that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4 verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you notice verse number 8 says that he gave gifts unto men. And then verse 11 talks about what he gave. And verse 12 says the reason that he gave these gifts. And verse 13, the ultimate and final purpose. I love that, how the Lord uses that word measure. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So he purchased us, and he gave gifts to us. And the question is, will God get his money's worth out of you and I? He bought us with a price. Is he going to get what he paid for? He gave us gifts to use for his glory. Now look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. This is a very famous verse. Romans 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Notice in verse 3, it's the measure of faith. Just like David gave to everyone a good piece of flesh. Amen. There's nothing wrong with a good piece of flesh. I mean, we're thinking, I'm thinking T-bone, something like that. That's a good piece. And David was not stingy. He said, I'm going to give everybody a steak. And he is giving that not just to some people, the favored few. He's giving it to every one of his subjects. That's a lot of food. That's a lot of stuff that he's giving away. But he's giving that away just like here in verse number 3. God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then verse 6, it says, the grace that is given to us, and we're to prophesy, those that have the gift of prophecy, to prophesy according to the proportion of faith. It seems that when God gives gifts, he gives them not the same gift to everyone. Now, I know some of you are like, if I buy $7.99 for her, I got to buy $7.99 for him. Everything's fair. As if you love your children the same. Do you really? You know what I do? When I give gifts, I'm like, I really want to buy that for him. Boom. I want to give that to her. And then I go, well, that's a lot of money. Well, I love you, but I want to give her that much money. Now, that's just, I'm weird that way. My wife is not the same. She's got it all, you know, too high on the meter up for this one. We're going to lower it down. Let's make them all. No, nobody is special, right? But I just get, you know, in the moment, just buy it, whatever. $1,000, no problem. I love you, kid. I love you. Amen. I don't love anybody else for the rest of time, but I love you right now. And you know, why? Because you give different gifts. At least I do. I think the Lord gives different gifts. Now, he's not unfair because he's giving everyone a gift. And I think that gift is customized specifically for you. Customized. There are some people that are very good at giving very customized gifts. They remember, you know, I don't know if you have friends like this. Ladies typically are the ones that do this. They give a gift. It says a little saying that maybe that she said to you, you know, 30 years ago. And you know, you remember that. You know, and I like buying customized gifts. Sometimes I buy things for people. I'm like, that is him all the way. And I bought a thing. Don't tell anybody I said this, but I bought for Mike Reagan. I bought this picture of an old school picture, maybe 60s or some 50s or 60s, and it was just it was Jack Dempsey, the boxer. And I just saw him. I'm like, that's Mike Reagan. He's a pastor, but he really should be a boxer. That's really what it is. And I'm just glad he doesn't preach without a shirt on. That's the only thing I'm thankful for. But I saw that. I'm like, I'm going to buy it for him. Now, I haven't bought gifts for everybody. I didn't go, oh, I better look at my phone. Who all do I know? It's just, you know, boom. And I don't know that he probably just threw it away, but I thought it was really cool. I think the Lord, you ever have something like that where you think, man, that really fits them? I think the Lord does that for every one of his children. He has a special gift, but it's according to the proportion of faith. In other words, if I were to give my child $1,000, that wouldn't be a very wise gift. Why? Because he or she is not prepared necessarily to receive that gift. Now, your child might be just perfect with that. They understand, oh, I need to put some of my 401k. I need to put, you know, they may have it all nailed down, 529. But maybe not. It just depends on the person, right? Well, God is the same way with you and I. He gives gifts to us. Well, God hasn't given me anything for a long time. Well, he's the giver. And he gives perfect gifts. Every gift comes down from the Father of lights, and every good and perfect gift, and he knows what you need, and he is giving you what you need. The truth of the matter is, if you're a child of God, he's already given you what you need. The Christian life is just about finding out how much God means and who he is. That's what Philemon 6 is all about. Let's finish up a couple things here in verse chapter 12. So verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we have here the gifts that God has given to people. I can't tell you what gift God's given you. And I don't know, but I know that he has given you something. He's dealt, verse number 3, to every man the measure of faith. Faith to do what? To do something for him. to do something. And I'm not just talking about one thing. I'm talking about all kinds of things. Because every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father. How many of those are there? There's a lot of gifts. A lot of things. There's a lot of God's children. And he's given every one of those children a gift. Let's go to one more place now, and we will be here for the rest of time. No, for the rest of the service. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Now, we talked about every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. That's the gifts from the King. What God has given you. And now, let's talk about the communication of thy faith. The communication of thy faith. Chapter 11 of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's the evidence? Faith is the evidence. So faith is the evidence that you have been given a gift. The communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. The gift that God has given you is to be exercised. It is to be communicated. What's in you is to be given to someone else by faith. And it's the prayer of Paul that Philemon's faith would be not just exercised or communicated, but that it would be effectual, that it would work. Did you ever have an electronics kit growing up, or a chemistry set or something like that? I don't know what it was with me, but it seemed like I can do the first page, the first one, the bonehead, dead simple, easy thing. I can do that. All right, pour this into that. I did it. Hey, Mom, look. But as you start adding steps, it starts getting more difficult. I had an electronic set. You know, it was like 300 projects you can do. Yeah, right. Like 3 projects that I could do. You know, and so I would do one of them, and you'd put them all together, missing a piece. Where's the wire? Where's the battery? I can't find it. Where's the little resistor? Where's the capacitor? I can't find anything. So I put it all together. It doesn't work. I thought I had the pieces and I had the directions, but the exercise of my faith was not effectual. It wasn't working. And Paul's prayer is that Philemon's, what was inside of him, the capabilities, what was included in the set, would actually be put to good use and would work like the maker intended it to work. Now, maybe you're like, I'm sure that some of you are, you went through all of the projects that were listed there, and then you kept going. Anybody like that? You got through all the projects in the set. I'm looking around. And I thought for sure somebody would raise your hand. I got some names I was going to say, but I'm not going to say them. Why? Because it's there, it's a possibility. But after a while, even if you know what you're doing, people tend to get bored. And it was just, your parents bought it because it said 300 toys in one. That's what they saw when they saw that. You know, it was basically one toy is all it was. But, you know, you got bored with it. But there's a lot of stuff that's included in the set that doesn't get used in the Christian life. There's a lot of things that you're capable of that God wants you to do, and you don't have to get bored. I mean, they won't be boring. I can tell you that. What God will do through you won't be boring. But you have to use the stuff. And then you have to put it together the right way so that it will become effectual and actually work. Because there's nothing more frustrating than when you do all this hours and hours and hours, and you have one final step and you plug it in and nothing. You know, you add the chemical and nothing. And then you got to go all back around. Well, sometimes that's the way it is in the Christian life. You think, I just got to just do the steps, and I plug in the prayer, and nothing happens. And I read my Bible, and nothing happens. Well, that's why it's so important for your faith, someone to be praying for you. Paul was saying, I'm really praying that this thing works, that not only communicating your faith, but you'll be effectual in that. So God places in every believer all that is necessary to do amazing things, supernatural things by faith. God has given you everything that's necessary. It's all included. And it's all quality stuff, not like the kits that you get. Everything's included. Yeah, piece of junk stuff is included. And the quality stuff, you have to go out and buy extras, right? No, God's given you everything that you need to be successful as a Christian, to see supernatural things done in your life. Now, it may not be every single hour of the day, amazing things are happening. Look at this. I'm a super Christian, Ma. Watch. It may not be that way every day. Probably it's not going to be. I don't know any Christians that it is that way for. But if you look back over 20 years, you ought to be able as a Christian to say, that was God. That was God. He did that for me. I messed up and he fixed it. He kept me with my wife. He kept us in church. He helped me win that soul to Christ. He helped me tithe. He helped me be faithful in church. He helped me take that ministry. He helped me encourage other people. You ought to be able to look back over 20 years and say, wow, look at all that God has done. What's that? That is effectual communication of the faith that God put inside of you. He dealt to every man the measure of faith. And it's not just like, well, it's like some Christians get to do amazing things and I'm stuck here. You know, when you're saying that to me or saying that to other people, you really ought to be saying that to God. And you ought to come up to God like a kid might come on Christmas morning and say, is that all? No, there's one more thing. Pow! Right out the window he flies. That's what I want to do, amen? Now, my kids have never done that. But you ever think about how God feels after he's dealt to every man a measure of faith? He gave you a customized, perfect gift for you. And then you come up and you say, why didn't I get what so-and-so got? Is this all? Now, it says here that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. So again, the question I have for you is this. Will God get his money's worth out of you? He gave you a talent, he gave you an ability, he gave you an opportunity. Is he going to get his money's worth? Let's look at some folks in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He communicated his faith by offering a better sacrifice. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Here we are. 5,000, 6,000 years later, and we're talking about Abel. I'd say God got his money's worth out of Abel. By faith. Where did that faith come from? God deals to every man the measure of faith. Whether they act on it or not is up to them. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch communicated his faith by walking with God faithfully, and God got his money's worth out of him. His faith was communicated effectually. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his faith, of his house. He communicated his faith by building an ark. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He communicated his faith by obeying, and God got his money's worth out of Abraham. Verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. She communicated her faith by trusting God and allowing God to strengthen her. Her faith that was inside was evidenced by what she did. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's inside what God had done in Sarah's heart. But on the outside, she trusted God. In other words, she didn't walk around moping and complaining or laughing or just stamping her feet and throwing kitchen pots and pans around. She trusted God by allowing God to do for her what she could not do for herself. The lady was too old to have kids. But when we're talking about God, we're talking about someone who can do things that humans can't do. And she allowed God to do in her life what she didn't have strength to do. That's what faith, effectual faith, is. It's not Sarah believing against hope, believing against all logic and human biology that she would have a kid. No, because that is called stupidity. Faith is saying, God said what he would do. I trust what he said, and I'm going to live my life as if it is true. Because it is true. I'm going to live my life. Here's the difference. I have weird illustrations, so you have to forgive me. When I take a light off and I have exposed, if I take a light off the ceiling and I have exposed wires, I have already made sure that the breaker is off so that there's no power. But I'm still cautious, I'm still careful. Let me ask you this. If the breaker is off, there is no power to those exposed wires. Can I reach up there and grab the wire without being hurt or being shocked? Logically, yes. But, you know, I'm not quite sure that I turned off the breaker. And so I can, but I don't. See, that's what faith is all about. Faith is recognizing that how I feel is not going to dictate for me what I do or don't do. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do this. I'm just giving you an illustration of what is possible to do, even though your mind says, no, 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 no. It's not a logical thing to reach up and grab a bare wire. It's not a good thing. It's not a safe thing. Okay? But the truth is, I will not get shocked if there's no power coming to that bare wire. As a Christian, the Lord sometimes calls us to reach out and grab a bare wire. It's going to hurt. I know it's going to bother me. I am not comfortable with this, and it doesn't make any sense. It's not safe. I don't think the Lord would call me. I don't know why God has me in this situation. I don't want to do it. But by faith, I'm going to trust the Lord that he's not going to hurt me. That he's not going to hurt me. That's what faith is all about. Faith is saying that something inside, God has given me the measure of faith, not just the measure of faith, just to have. I mean, faith is evidenced by action. And so God put this desire, this faith in me that has, I can trust God for whatever it is, and I act upon that, and externally, my faith is evidenced. You can't see faith, but you can see what faith does. Verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He communicated his faith by offering his son. And God got his money's worth out of Abraham. Over and over again in Hebrews 11, we find that Abraham communicated his faith. So when we're talking about in Philemon, Paul is praying that Philemon's faith, his faith would be effectually communicated. What does that mean? That he would do something. He's not just standing out on the highway going, I believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus. That is communicating your faith. But is that effectual communication? And it's not all verbal communication that the Lord is looking for. It's not what you say necessarily, although that could be included. It's what you do. What are you going to do by faith, because of what God said in your life? The prayer of Paul for Philemon was, Lord, you gave him some things to do. You gave him something in his heart. And I'm praying that, God, you would take what you put in him that's customized especially for him, and you would bring forth glory to yourself as a result of him exercising his faith, communicating his faith, taking the information that God placed inside and bringing it on the outside. You know, they launch nuclear rockets or rockets with nuclear warheads on it. You know they launch those with computers, right? Those computers are nothing more than storage facilities for information. But what happens is all the launch codes and everything gets put into some computer. Now, I'm not a nuclear scientist. I don't know much about it, but I know this. If you're going to launch a rocket, you're going to have to tell that rocket how to launch. And you're going to have to tell it when to set that nuclear warhead off. Otherwise, we're all dead. So that information is stored in the computer. It takes somebody taking the information that's stored on the computer and externalizing that information so that rocket will go up into the air. Now, I hope that never happens in our lifetime. I hope no one ever sets off a nuclear warhead. But if it does, that's how it's going to happen. Some information that was stored inside of the computer, somebody came in, acted on that information that was stored, and now something's happening as a result. You and I have the same capabilities on a spiritual side. The Lord stored information, stored possibilities. He stored situations, right? If you will, like maneuvers, like the army. They do maneuvers. They do different types of training scenarios. What could happen? All those things are stored in a plan. So when there's some kind of a crisis happens, they can look at their plans and go, okay, if this disaster happens or if this enemy strikes or if we have a nuclear attack, here's what we do. All that information is stored in there. The possibilities are locked in. It takes somebody to go and access that information and set it into motion. Are you getting the picture? What the Lord has done is given us the measure of faith. And inside, we have all kinds of possibilities of what God can do. And by the way, He didn't treat anybody more special than the other. He loves everybody the same. He gave you an exact situation or scenario that fits you perfectly. And you're the only one that can act that scenario out. Are you with me tonight? All right, we're going to be rolling through this. You're going to be amazed and surprised. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Isaac communicated his faith by blessing his sons. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. He communicated his faith by blessing Joseph's sons. And God got his money's worth. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph communicated his faith by telling Israel to take his bones with them when they left Egypt. And that's a bigger exercise of faith than you might think. When Joseph is the head of the country, he's the leader of the country under Pharaoh. He said, we're taking all of our family, all of our culture, and we're leaving. Make sure you take my bones with you. I won't even be alive. But by faith, I'm going to bring out this desire that God's placed in my heart and set it into motion. I want you to promise me you're taking my bones with you when you leave. He exercised his faith. He communicated it. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The parents of Moses communicated their faith by hiding their son, even though it was against the law. They hid their son, and God got his money's worth out of the faith that he placed in their hearts. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses followed in the footsteps of his parents' faith, and he communicated or exercised his faith by rejecting Pharaoh, and God got his money's worth out of the faith that he placed in Moses. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses exercised his faith by rejecting Egypt, and again, God got his money's worth out of the faith that he put in Moses. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Again, Moses communicates his faith by keeping the Passover. The faith that God placed in Moses was not in vain. It was used for a purpose. You can think easily of many instances in the Gospels where the Lord gives talents or the Lord gives money to someone, and then he comes back and he says, "Where is my return on my investment?" That's what the Lord has done for you and I. He's put something inside of us, and he is coming back, and we're going to give account for what we have done. Have we made good, a good return, or have we lost the investment? So that is, we won't look at any more of those in Hebrews, but the challenge is this. The challenge is, are you going to communicate your faith effectively? Are you going to give God a return on the investment of faith that he placed in you? Can I get several men to help me here? Brother Kistner, Bob Jeffrey, Mike Sheehan, and James Kelly. I've got a very quick object lesson that I want to give you. If you would just come down, gentlemen, I'm going to give something to you, and then I'm going to call you out. What I'm doing right now is I'm going to give them a gift, an opportunity. It may not be what they're looking for. All right, go back to your seat, gentlemen, if you would. Brother Kistner, I'll bring it to you. All right, now, gentlemen, look at this. What I'm doing is I'm giving a gift to them. This is an opportunity for them to exercise their faith. And I'm going to give this to them. What they're doing now is receiving it, and they are acknowledging the gift. How do you acknowledge the gift in this case? How would you acknowledge it? Read it. Look what it says. You acknowledge that. Now, they could ignore it and say, I ain't playing your game, Pastor John. I don't know what you're going to do to us, but I don't think it's going to be good. But they're looking at it, and they're acknowledging that gift. Okay? So the first thing is, you got to read the directions. The directions there represent, in the object lesson, represent the gift that God has given to you and I. God's put something in there. Reading the directions represents acknowledging every good thing which is in you. You see, I chose out these very basic things for these men on purpose. I customized it. I could have had given it to a lady or anyone, but I chose these specific men and I gave each one of them one specifically. All right? Now, here's the challenge. The challenge is not just knowing what your gift is. The challenge is going to be doing it while everybody's looking. And taking that effort and saying, I am going to step out by faith. You see, faith is almost always exercised to a greater or lesser degree at the point of pain. It's going to be uncomfortable. Just like I know that wire doesn't have electricity, but I still don't want to touch it. Why? It's a point of faith. Point of pain. Or possible pain, I should say. Though the action here, the directions are them, when they read the directions, that's acknowledging every good thing. The next step is the action, doing something for God, that represents the communication of the faith, the exercise of the faith. All right, so let's start with number four. Number four. I'm ready. That's a great verse, isn't it? That's a great verse. Now, what I did was I gave him a gift. That's a type of God giving you and I a gift. When he quoted the verse, that was a type of communicating the gift that God had placed in him, his faith. Now, the blessing that you received from hearing the verse, that's a type of the effectual communication. The blessing that's received and the glory to God that is given represents the effectiveness of your faith. Paul is praying not that God would give Philemon a gift. Philemon already had a gift. He had the measure of faith inside of him. He is praying not just that Philemon would use the gift. He is praying that when the gift is used, that it would bring forth glory to God, bring forth fruit, and it would be a blessing. All right, let's go with number three. Number three. Amen. Come down, brother. Give it to Brother Kevin. Here we go. All right, Brother Kistner, he has an offering envelope. Now, unfortunately, it's empty. Brother Kistner had some money in that envelope, and Brother Kistner's given that money to Brother Sullenberger, and he said, I'm praying for your family. Now, what I did was, what he is doing is he is taking the gift that God has given him, whatever it might be, the ability to give to somebody else, and he is communicating that to someone else. You see how God, it could be anything. We saw how the Lord talks about the different gifts. It could be the giving. He said, if you give, do it simply. Just do it with simplicity. That's a gift. How about number two? Number two. Amen. Isn't that great? What's he doing? He's taking the gift that he has inside, that faith in him, and it's stirring up, and it's causing him to say, I want to do something for the Lord with this. And when he said that, it was effective in our hearts, because we remember what it's like to be saved. We remember what the Lord did for us. It's effectual communication. We've got one more. Number one. The effectual communication of thy faith. Brother Mike Sheehan. And what's Brother Mike doing? He's coming down to pray. And what is that? That's the Lord stirring him and he responding to the Lord and putting feet to his faith and doing something for the Lord. Now, you ever wonder why sometimes God does something for somebody and you go, man, that's interesting. The Lord, he's going down to the altar to pray. Or I saw her bringing a meal to somebody else or being kind or whatever it might be. That is an example externally of what God is doing in our hearts. So we could go on and on and on. Thank you, Brother Mike. You can keep praying if you want. I need some prayer, but we're going to close tonight. And the question I have for you is this. What gift or calling did God give you? Before you wrap everything up, if you got a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, write this down. I want you to write this out. I've got two questions for you, and then I'm going to ask you to write something out. Here's the question. First question. What gift or calling did God give me? How is God stirring my soul? How is God moving on my heart? And don't tell me he's not. Unless you're backslidden, the Lord has something specific. And even if you are backslidden, the Holy Spirit's been yelling at you probably all day. So if you are a child of God, there's something that he has for you to do. So the first question is, what gift or calling did God give me? Number two, this is this question, and this is not what you're writing out. You can if you want. But this is the question. Will I exercise the faith required for my communication to be effectual? Will I exercise the faith that's required to be effectual in my communication? You see, there is an uncomfortable, the awkwardness that you felt. Who's going to stand? Who's going to do something? What's going to happen? The awkwardness you felt is nothing to compare to the awkwardness that the other people felt that actually had a piece of paper. That's how faith is. It's awkward. It's stepping out, doing something unusual. Something out of the box. Something that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. That's what faith is. But the great thing about it is, those men did not have to think up something to do. All they had to do was acknowledge what had been handed to them. You don't have to think of some major, amazing, gigantic, never before been done work for God. All you have to do is acknowledge what God is already saying to you. Just relax and surrender and do it. Just say yes to the Lord. So here's the statement I want you to write down. Now, you can write this in your own way, however you want. This is how I wrote it down. Because Jesus Christ has given me a gift. Write your name. Because Jesus Christ has given me a gift, write your name, by faith. So my name, I, by faith, will, and then a blank line in 2018. Because Jesus Christ has given me a gift, the gift of faith, the measure of faith, the proportion of faith, because he has given gifts to men like David gave to his subjects, all of us are subjects of the great king, we've all received a gift. Because Jesus Christ has given me a gift, I, by faith, will, blank line, in 2018. You fill it out. I don't know. I'm not the great giver of gifts. God's the giver of gifts. And God has something for you to do. You say, well, I'm not called to preach. Are you saved? Do you think God gives some gifts to people, and if they're called to preach or they're going to the mission field? No. He gave to every man the measure of faith. Every man, every woman. Do you think that Jesus Christ is a less of a king than David? No. Nobody's left. I'm talking to kids. If you remember when you got saved, God's given you a gift. I'm talking to teenagers. I'm talking to senior saints. I'm talking to everybody. If you're a child of God, you have a gift. And are you going to take this? And I would say, pray about this and say, Lord, I want my faith to be communicated to someone this year. It doesn't have to be in 2018. It could be in 2017. I'm just thinking about the next year. We've got an opportunity for the Lord to show up in our lives and do things that you and I never thought possible. And it's by faith. If you go and look in Hebrews chapter 11, if you take God out of that equation, you would never have known the names of those individuals. The only reason why you and I look at them and say, oh, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, wow. The only reason is because of the faith that God gave them on which they exercised. They took the faith that God gave them and they did something with it. Their faith communication became effectual. And as a result, we sit here tonight having been blessed by these men and women of God. And don't think that God wants to do or can do any less through you than he did through them. He's the same God, and he gave to every man the measure of faith. Now it's in our court. Let's bow our heads in prayer this evening. Lord, thank you for being good to us. We need not more gifts. Lord, we haven't even opened all the gifts that you've given us. Lord, maybe we just need to calm down a little bit, take stock, like we were thinking about this morning. Remember the simplicity that's in Christ and say, Lord, by faith, because of what you've done for me and given to me, I want to do something for you. I want to take my faith and see it be effectively communicated in the next year.